morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sue Penny. I am a member of this wonderful Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork, and I'd like to welcome everyone here. Whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome. We are very happy to see some old familiar faces back with us this morning. And if you are new to us, we're glad you found us. We hope everyone can stay for the hospitality time after the service. Soup, as usual, by Jean. And do come again and again. It takes a while to experience our worship to know really what we're about here. This is a shared ministry. Our interim minister, the Reverend Nancy Arnold, offers about half of our services, and the other half are created by the worship associates. And this is one of those services. And we're so happy that Robbie Vorhaus answered our call this morning. And I have a lot of fun facts about Robbie. Today is his birthday, for one. And I understand special things happen on his birthday, so we'll see how that goes. Another fun fact, Candace and Robbie, the sun just came out. That's amazing in itself.
It's a sign.
It's a sign. Robbie and Candace were actually married in All Souls. So that's an interesting piece of information. Robbie has written this book, One Less, One More, and they will be for sale in the other room after the service, and they're actually giving us a little bit of the proceeds. So thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for that.
I wish I could say all the things I could say.
And Robbie has our first message.
How it feels to be free. I love that. Thank you for having me. And I want us to think about a couple of words today. First of all, I'd like us all to come present. It's so easy to be thinking about the past or regrets or what's going to happen after. But the reality is that there's only this moment right now. There's only ever one moment. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to consider a few things. One is the word courage. Courage is from the Latin cor, heart, age, T-H of the heart. And in truth, every decision, every choice we make in some way takes some courage. And today, when we leave here, I'm going to ask you to consider, just to consider, that the reason that you were born is to follow your heart. And that following your heart means that you are on an exploration of discovering why you're here. And so often when I talk, I'm blessed that I get to talk all over the world. Some people actually listen. That was a joke. I'm not allowed to give self-deprecating humor, but I still every now and again do. But when I ask people to consider that they were born to follow their heart, to be happy, they'll say, I'll try. I'll try. And how many of us say, I'll try that? Or, okay, I'll try that. I'll try that. The truth is that trying is an excuse to fail. Trying is an attempt, is a commitment to the attempt. So here's what I'd like us all to do. Would you pick up something? Just pick up something. One thing, anything, a pen. Probably not a book, because I'm going to ask you to drop a book. Just pick up something. And I'd like you to try to drop whatever is in your hand. Just try to drop it. Oh, no, no. I'm sorry, Carl. I said try. Pick it up again. Pick it up. Please. Mrs. Fulkingham, pick it up. Good. So now try to drop it again. Just try to drop it. I heard somebody, no, you dropped it. I want you to think about this every single time that you catch yourself or hearing somebody say, I'll try. Trying is a commitment to the attempt, not the accomplishment, not the achievement. It's a commitment to the attempt. And what I'd like for you to consider is to have the courage to, instead of saying, I will try, to be able to say, I can do this. I will do this. I am this. Instead of saying, I'll try to follow my heart, to say, I will follow my heart. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but still saddling up anyway. I ask you to have the courage to, instead of saying try, to say, I can, I will, I am.
It's been so long that we've had a membership moment that it didn't even get in the order of service, and Carl is going to do that for us this morning. Carl.
I don't know if people remember what membership moments even are. A few years ago, members used to come up at the beginning part of service and give little speeches about what it meant to be a UU. I last did one in August 2008, about 7 years ago. And Nancy suggested that I do a membership moment today as part of the build-up to our Celebration Sunday service next weekend, which is kind of a euphemism for pledging around here. I decided I would avoid looking at my words from 7 years ago until after I composed this new one to see how the two little moments compared. So what does UUCSF mean to me now? Nowadays, it seems that there are two simple categories of things that I get from UU: philosophical things and personal things. In the philosophical things category, there is my time spent getting to hang out with people who share my values. Maybe if I was truly enlightened, my desire would be to hang out with opposite-minded people, to promote my values and to be open to the values of others. Instead, I am opting for the easy route, at least on a Sunday morning. Here I can find plant lovers, bird enthusiasts, energy conservation gurus, nutrition experts, and committed liberals all in one room. I learn a lot from you folks. In the personal things category of what I get from coming here, there is the pleasure of social interaction. Pam and I are going to be empty nesters in only a few short months, so Pam is always encouraging me to acquire some new friends. Sometimes the responsibilities of keeping our little congregation alive seem to get in the way of simple friendship. But I have been privileged to spend some time with a few of you outside the context of committee meetings and congregational retreats. I think this is going to be more and more important to me in this new stage of my life. Those were the main points that came to mind for this updated membership moment. But I don't necessarily think that this is a very complete description of being part of a 400-year-old religious movement. I feel as if I've left a lot out, so I plan to improve on this next Sunday and then reveal how this year's membership moment compared to my 2008 membership moment. I hope to see you then.
Yes.
Please feel free to, please feel free to either repeat out loud or to yourself. Read this so that we can share it through our hearts together. Dear Universal Creator, I choose to be happy, do what I love, and follow my heart. I am present and prepared for the challenge. I am aligned with my life's purpose and without judgment, persistently observe the feedback my existence provides, consciously choosing to feel good while honoring the natural process of slow, incremental, and sustainable change. My life is the fulfillment of my heart's dreams and desires. And today, I consciously choose one less negative, resistant, fearful, or bad feeling, thought, or action, and I let it go. Also today, I consciously choose one more positive, joyful, or good feeling, thought, or action, and fully embrace it with all of my being. I know this is one less and one more. Now in this moment, I celebrate my birth, my life, as an experience and an expression of the universe's magnificence. And I commit to making every conscious moment better than I found it. I am happiness. I am love, and I am light, and all is well. I know this rose will open. I know. I believe. It's interesting. I'm so grateful to be here, and I have to say, even though I do this for a living, I still get a little nervous. Beforehand, a friend of mine who is a minister told me the story of how the preacher and the taxi cab driver both died and went to heaven, and they were at the pearly gates. And the preacher said, I'd like to see my final resting place. And St. Peter said, well, that'd be fine. And they showed him this lovely room, had a very nice window overlooking a field. And he said, well, while we're all here together, I'd like to see the taxi cab driver's final resting place. He said, well, I don't know. He said, no, let's go. We're all together. So he showed him. They walked down the hall, and there were all these beautiful women and these golden columns, and they walked into this magnificent palace, and there was gold everywhere and luscious fruit and abundant sunshine. And the preacher said, wait, we must have this switched. I'm the preacher. He's a cab driver. I just have a room. He has this abundant place. St. Peter said, preacher, when you preach, people sleep. When he drives, people pray. We reward results here. So I hope that I can keep you awake for just a few minutes to consider courage and following your heart. Walt Disney said, and everyone knows the quote, that dreams do come true. But the full quote is, dreams do come true if you have the courage to pursue them. And I want you to think about the number 100 billion. I know it's an almost unfathomable number to consider, but since the beginning of time, scientists say that there have been 100 billion people before us. And now on the planet, there's a little over 7 billion people. And yet we know that no matter what level you're looking at it, whether it's scientific, philosophical, emotional, whatever level, there has never been another you. There has never been another human being remotely like you. Or you, or you, or you. It's amazing. 100 billion and 7 billion people on the planet today. And there's never been another you. So, whose life are you living? Whose story are you telling? Whose breath are you breathing? Do you recognize? Do you have the courage, the age of the heart, to even consider, to believe that you were born to be happy, that you were born to follow your heart, that our life is an adventure. Every choice we make changes the future. How many of you honestly, considered not coming this morning? Right? I mean, and yet you did. You made the choice. And you changed the future. And if you look at it and consider how many choices we make in every moment, when are those conscious when we say we're going to choose to make the next moment better? We're going to choose to follow our hearts. We're going to choose to be happy. So here's what I'd like you to think about. Dust or ash? Dust is a waste product. Dust is dead skin, it's dirt, it's waste. It's something that you sweep up, that you move out. No one collects dust. Well, unless you were with me in high school, the way my room I collected dust, but it wasn't a conscious decision. But ash, that's a fascinating product. Ash is the result of something that's completely burnt. It was a fuel source, and now it's gone. But it's still here, and you can take the ash, it's all burnt up, and you can put it in your garden. You can use it for fertilizer, you could use it to supplement your garden, but it's all used up. Dust is a waste product. Ash is a result of being all burned up. How many of us are going to leave this life, leave this day, all burnt up, giving everything we have? When do we hold back and say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to try this. Why? Why? Because somebody else says it? Because somebody else tells us that we can't pursue our dreams, our desires? One more is simply a tool. It's a path, one, to experience this moment like you've never experienced it before. And all I'm asking you to do is to consider that in any moment that you choose, that you make one choice to choose less of what's not working anymore. Maybe you're jealous. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you have regrets. We all do. But choose one less that no longer works. A reporter once asked Henry Moore, the sculptor, Henry Moore was working on this magnificent, beautiful sculpture of a horse out of one piece of rock. And the reporter said to him, Mr. Moore, this is extraordinary. You can see in the way that you're sculpting this from one piece of rock, you can see the wind in the horse is in the mane, in the horse's mane. You can see the musculature. You can see the look, the glint in the horse's eye. And it's just one piece of rock. How do you do it? And Henry Moore said, I don't really understand what the big deal is. I just take one piece of rock, and then I just cut away everything that doesn't look like a horse. Well, I think that's kind of like our lives, right? I mean, I know what we'd like to believe. We all want to live longer. We all want to live better. That's universal. But where are we going to be in 5 years, 10 years? Who knows? But we do know today what no longer works. We do know today, just as you two, we're going to be empty nesters when Molly goes to school, Connor's off to school, and it's easy. We have friends who are getting divorced. We have friends who are saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. We have people who said, I'm going to be retiring soon, but I've been living my life chasing money. I've been living my life doing what my parents wanted me to. I don't want to die with the music in me. And what they're saying is, I don't want to be dust. I want to be ash. I don't want to die with the music in me. And the one more in every day to challenge yourself to consider is to do one more thing that makes your heart beat a little faster. One more thing that you're curious about, that you can pursue. One more thing that you feel that you can make this life better than you found it. We all have a child living in us. My grandmother, Lillian Oppenheimer, introduced origami to this country. And when she was 95 years old, she was still proud of being sexually active and having a driver's license and being able to travel all over the world. We didn't ask her too many questions after that, but Candace did. Candace did ask her. She said, Grandma, you're 95. You're the most passionate, interesting person we know. What's your secret? And she said, oh, darling, don't you know that in this shriveled 95-year-old body lives a very active 16-year-old girl? What is it, when you were a child, that you were so fascinated with that you couldn't stop thinking about it, But somebody, maybe your parents inadvertently, maybe somebody else said, oh, don't bother doing that because you can't make a living at it. Think about that. Is there a book in you? Is there a walk in the woods? Is there reaching out to brothers and sisters who have lost their house of worship? What can we do that stirs us? And so many people ask me, I advise leaders all over the world, and they say, well, I'm the president of a company, or I'm the minister of a church. I can't join the circus. I have a client who made a lot of money and was offered another job and said, I want to start a circus. I want to follow my heart. That's what's pulling me. And they did. But so many people say, well, I'm a parent. I can't travel around the world. We were at dinner at El Cappuccino, and an 83-year-old woman said, I read your book. I've been just sitting around. I have all the money in the world. I was just sitting around waiting to die, and I realized, my gosh, there's so much that I've been wanting to do, and I've been letting everyone else tell me why I can't. But the one more in one lesson, one more, is the possibilities. What are the possibilities that are the seed within you? How many 93 or 94, I don't remember exactly how old you are now, how young you are, Mrs. Putnam. So 93 or 94?
95.
95.
92.
And 92. And the music is in you. And we feel your love. And we know that there are gifts that we all have. Every choice we make changes the future. Will you consider, just consider, that out of the 100 billion people, the reason that you were created so differently is that you have a unique story to tell. And that story is your life. And what you choose in the moment is that if you would consider, just consider, to do less of what doesn't feel good anymore, just one, what's not working, and at the same time in the same day that you would consider pursuing the possibilities that you can believe, prepare, commit, and then instead of trying to be perfect, that you will agree simply to practice. Perfection does not exist. You can't find it in nature. Perfection doesn't exist. It's only perfection is in the moment and the experience for you. That's why artists say, Michelangelo said, art is never finished, it's abandoned. Because what you try to do is you feel a perfect moment, and you'll spend the rest of your life being disappointed trying to express it. But what a lot of fun it can be. And so I ask you this. As we said earlier, instead of saying, I'll try that, say, I can. I will. I am. Make the decision in any moment to follow your heart. Be happy. Not do happy. We're not human doers. We're human beings. Be happy and allow yourself the luxury to change slowly. You don't plant a seed and have a tree the next day. A baby takes 9 months before it's born. Our lives are meant to be slow and deliberate, and we spend so much time allowing ourselves to be distracted that we forget to listen, that we forget to hear the calling of our unique heart. Follow your heart, be happy, and change slowly. And if you have the courage in any minute to do that, You won't die with the music in you. And you will be very comfortable saying, I choose to be ash, not dust. Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. Robbie's first chapter in the book is about his personal story, which makes this message even more powerful. So I hope you get a chance to read that. I chose the hymn Amazing Grace because it is written by a pretty amazing person himself, John Newton. If you Google him, you will find a lot of interesting information about his life. He was sort of a bad boy, and he did ran slave ships, and at some point decided that wasn't what he wanted to do and started studying Christian theology, and at some point wrote Amazing Grace. So let us stand, turn to 205, rise in body or spirit, and Kent will lead us in this beautiful song. Eternal, and that life is stronger than death. And may that faith inspire us to live our lives with dignity, love, and courage in the days and weeks ahead.